Okay, let's dive straight into something that, well, it sounds almost impossible.
Right.
A 15-ton fighter jet being literally pushed out of enemy airspace by another one.
Yeah, you hear that, you immediately think, okay, Hollywood script.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But this actually happened. It's a real, very well-documented event. It's known as the Pardo Push.
And we've got great detail on it. Sources like Military Tales, Episode 31, really lay it out.
So what really gets you is just the sheer audacity of it all, right?
Absolutely. Picture this. March 10th, 1967, you've got a four-ship formation of F-4 Phantom
A Phantom, yeah.
heading to bomb a steel mill near Hanoi. And we're talking deep, deep in enemy territory.
Not just any territory, I mean, heavily defended, right?
Oh, massively. Think about 183 anti-aircraft guns just within a 5-mile radius of this target.
Yeah.
This wasn't some casual flyby. It was, you know, punching into a fortress.
Definitely. And the F-4 itself, I mean, it was no slouch. This was a serious aircraft.
Oh, yeah. Capable of carrying, what, as many bombs as a World War II B-17?
That's right. But with way more accuracy.
Pinpoint accuracy. So the plan initially was pretty standard for this kind of mission.
Speed and precision. Get in, drop the bombs, get out fast.
Exactly. Military Tales, Episode 31, really highlights that initial confidence, you know, in the F-4s.
So who are the main players here?
Okay, so in one of these Phantoms, you've got Bob Pardo and his backseater, Steve Wayne.
Right.
And in another F-4, you have Earl Amon, and his backseater was named Robert.
Got it. So their mission is this steel mill, a critical target.
Very critical, part of North Vietnam's industrial backbone.
But even before they get there, something unexpected happens.
Yeah, it's a detail that shows just how resourceful the North Vietnamese were.
What was it?
They're flying high, and they spot thousands of pontoon boats.
Pontoon boats?
Yeah, forming these hidden bridges across waterways. Just shows you the kind of ingenuity they were up against. You always had to be ready for the unexpected.
Another layer of complexity for sure. But the real crisis hits right over the target itself.
That's when it all goes wrong for Earl Amon's aircraft.
Takes heavy fire.
Brutal hits. And the big problem is fuel. It starts just pouring out.
The report in Episode 31 uses that that chilling phrase, doesn't it?
It does. Bingo, minus 5,000 pounds.
Which means, for anyone maybe not familiar with the term.
Okay, so bingo fuel is the absolute minimum you need to get back safely, either to base or, crucially here, to an aerial refueling tanker.
And Earl was way below that.
Way below. He only had about 2,000 pounds left, not nearly enough to reach a tanker, not even enough to get out of North Vietnam airspace.
An absolutely dire situation.
And adding to the whole mess, Bob Pardo's plane, it wasn't untouched either.
He also got a hit.
Yeah, sustained damage, had his own fuel leak starting, but crucially, it wasn't as bad as Earl's.
So Pardo still had a chance.
Maybe. A slim chance, yeah.
Yeah.
He might have just enough to make it to a tanker if things went perfectly.
So think about that dynamic. You've got one crew, Earl and Robert, facing almost certain capture, becoming POWs.
Which was, I mean, a terrifying prospect. The stories were horrific.
And the other crew, Bob and Steve, they have this tiny sliver of hope for themselves.
It really paints this desperate picture, ejecting over North Vietnam, not something anyone wanted to do.
And it's right there, in that moment of, you know, extreme pressure, that Bob Pardo makes this unbelievable decision.
A decision that Military Tales Episode 31 rightly calls, well, extraordinary.
He's not leaving his wingman behind.
Nope. Not an option for him. So how does he even start trying to help? His first idea...
Episode 31 mentioned this, right?
Yeah, it was to try and position the nose cone of his F-4 into the space where Earl's drag chute would normally deploy.
Okay, so at the very back of Earl's plane, the idea being just to physically push him.
Exactly. Just nudge him along towards friendly airspace over Laos. Simple concept.
In theory, but...
But as Episode 31 explains, Earl's engines, even though they were damaged, they were still sputtering erratically.
Creating turbulence.
Violent turbulence, yeah. Bob just couldn't get a stable connection. It was too dangerous bouncing around back there.
So attempt one fails pretty quickly.
Right. But Bob doesn't give up. He comes up with this second idea, which is, frankly, even more dangerous, even more radical.
Okay. What was plan B?
Instead of using his nose, he decides he's going to try and use his F-4's tail hook.
The tail hook? The thing designed to catch wires on an aircraft carrier.
That exact hook, incredibly strong. His idea was to somehow use that to push against a specific reinforced point on Earl's aircraft.
Where? On Earl's plane?
There's a small structural fairing right in front of Earl's windscreen.
Right in front of the windscreen?
Inches in front of it.
Okay, let's pause on that. Episode 31 helps visualize this but it's still hard to grasp.
It really is. You've got two jets, each weighing maybe 30,000 pounds, maybe more, with residual fuel and ordnance.
Hurtling along at what, 250 knots?
Around that, yeah. So hundreds of miles per hour.
And he's trying to connect this tail hook, which is maybe the size of a football?
Roughly, yeah. Not a huge target.
With a tiny, maybe 12-inch square area on the other plane.
And that area is right in front of the cockpit canopy protecting Bob and Steve.
The armored windscreen.
Armored, yes, but not designed for that kind of stress. The margin for error was, well, basically zero.
Slight slip, a jolt.
And that tail hook, under maybe 16 tons of force, could slam right into their cockpit.
Instant disaster.
Episode 31 uses this great analogy for the effort involved. It called it milking a rattlesnake.
Huh. That paints a picture. Incredibly delicate, incredibly tense. Any mistake is fatal.
Absolutely. Demanding just unbelievable concentration and skill for a sustained period.
And yet, he did it. It actually worked.
Against all odds, it worked. Slowly, carefully, painstakingly, they started descending.
Pushing him towards low.
Pushing him towards low. So you can only imagine the vibrations, the noise, the sheer strain on both airframes. Episode 31 really tries to convey that intensity.
How long did this go on for?
Long enough to get them across the border and down to a slightly safer altitude, around 6,000 feet.
Still pretty low, though.
Still low. And Earl's fuel situation was now absolutely critical. Just fumes left.
So Bob had to make another tough call.
Yeah, an agonizing one. He had to break contact. They'd pushed as far as they possibly could.
Meaning everyone had to eject.
All four of them. Earl, Robert, Bob, and Steve. They all punched out over Laos.
And as episode 31 points out, they weren't safe yet.
Not at all. Now they're on the ground, in the jungle, still enemy territory, technically.
Hunted?
Definitely hunted. But the one advantage they had, as episode 31 notes, was their relative proximity to American bases or operations in Laos.
So rescue wasn't impossible.
And incredibly, it came quickly. Within about 2 hours, helicopters were there.
All four rescued.
All four rescued. A truly miraculous outcome, directly because of Bob Pardo's impossible push.
Okay, so they get back. You'd expect ticker tape parades, medals, the works, right?
Well, yes and no. Initially, back at their squadron base in Thailand, their buddies, the other pilots, they absolutely got it.
They knew what an incredible thing this was.
Oh, yeah. The debriefing, episode 31 mentions, called their actions absolutely magnificent. High praise.
But there's always a but in these stories, isn't there?
Often is. Then comes this bureaucratic nightmare, almost.
What happened?
A general stationed way back in Saigon, here's the story, and apparently he just couldn't believe it was possible. He thought they must have made it up, or worse, maybe ditched their planes unnecessarily.
Seriously, he doubted the Pardo push actually happened.
Seems so, and he actually threatened Bob Pardo with a court-martial.
A court-martial? For saving his wingman's life in such an extraordinary way.
Unbelievable, right? It really shows how sometimes institutions just struggle with things that don't fit the standard procedure.
So what happened? Did he get court-martialed?
Fortunately, no. A real leader stepped in, Colonel Robin Olds.
Ah, Robin Olds, a legend. World War II ace, now a big commander in Vietnam.
Exactly. He heard about this potential court-martial brewing.
And episode 31 says he flew straight to Saigon.
He did. Went right to the top brass and basically vouched for Pardo. Said this was heroism, pure and simple, not something to be punished.
So Old saved him from the court-martial.
He did. But there was a compromise. A sort of difficult one.
Which was?
No court-martial, definitely.
Right.
But also no immediate official recognition. No medals for Bob or Steve at that time.
Just swept under the rug, essentially.
Kinda. Keep it quiet. Don't make waves.
Wow. And how did Bob and Steve react to that? I mean, after all that risk.
And this is what really stands out, highlighted in episode 31, too. Their main feeling was relief.
Relief.
Yeah. Relief that Earl and Robert were safe. That was their primary concern all along. Getting the medals, the accolades, that wasn't why they did it.
Their comrades were alive. That was the reward.
Exactly. A truly selfless perspective.
So no recognition for years. How did that finally change?
It took a long, long time. Fast forward 22 years.
Two decades later.
Yep. There's a reunion of the River Rats. That's the Association of Vietnam-era Air Crew. And by chance, Bob is telling the story, or part of it, and a friend overhears who happens to work for Senator John Tower.
A connection in Washington.
Right. This friend hears the full story, realizes the injustice of the lack of recognition, and decides something needs to be done.
So Senator Tower got involved.
He did. He pushed for it, and finally, decades after the event.
They got their recognition.
Bob Pardo and Steve Wayne were awarded the Silver Star, the nation's third highest award for valor in combat.
Incredible. It just underscores that point from episode 31, doesn't it?
Mm.
True heroism isn't always about the medals, and it often comes from a place much deeper than wanting recognition.
Absolutely. But the story, as you hinted at earlier, it doesn't end there. There's a second push.
Right. Years later. This involves Earl Amann again.
Yeah. Sadly, Earl was later diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, a truly devastating illness.
And Bob Pardo stepped up again.
He did. It just shows this consistent character thread we see in Military Tales episode 31. It wasn't a one-off act of bravery. Helping people seems core to who he is.
So what did he do for Earl this time?
He rallied the troops again. The River Rat community, connections in the business world. They needed to get Earl a motorized wheelchair.
Which can be incredibly expensive.
Exactly. So Bob organized fundraisers. Get this. A t-shirt fundraiser alone brought in almost $120,000.
Wow. That's amazing support.
Just incredible generosity. And it didn't stop there.
Oh.
Through another connection, Bob managed to get General Motors to donate a specially equipped van.
A van Earl could drive.
Yeah.
Even with ALS.
A van he could operate using his wheelchair gave him back a huge amount of mobility and independence.
You can only imagine what that meant to Earl. Episode 31 touches on the emotion of that, right?
It hints at it, yeah. This incredible act of friendship and support from his old wingman, the guy who literally pushed him out of danger decades before.
So if you connect these dots, like episode 31 encourages us to.
You see this pattern, right? Pushing a fighter jet, metaphorically pushing for his friend's well-being with the wheelchair and van.
Right, it extended even further, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. The episode mentions his efforts after Hurricane Mitch hit Honduras.
What did he do there?
Organized relief efforts. Used donated corporate jets to fly down diapers, water purification systems, essential supplies.
Consistently helping where he saw a need.
It makes you wonder where that comes from, that deep drive.
And Military Tales episode 31 offers a potential answer. A really powerful anecdote about his father.
It does. It shares this piece of advice Bob's father used to give new dads.
What was the advice?
He'd say, your job isn't to make those boys follow you. Your job is to be worth following.
Hmm. Be worth following.
And you look at Bob Pardo's life, everything detailed in episode 31. It seems clear he took that to heart.
He felt, probably instinctively, that his father would have expected him to help Earl in that F4.
That sense of duty, of living up to an ideal, of being someone worthy of respect, it feels like the foundation for everything he did.
So the Pardo push, as we learned about through Military Tales episode 31, it wasn't just this single, isolated moment of insane bravery over Vietnam.
No, it was really a reflection of his fundamental character, a character deeply influenced by his father, William Roland Pardo.
And we should dedicate this deep dive to him.
Absolutely, to William Roland Pardo.
So just to recap the journey we've taken, guided by sources like Military Tales episode 31, the unbelievable Pardo push itself, the frustrating lack of recognition initially.
The decades later award of the Silver Star, and then Bob's continued unwavering support for his friend Earl.
And the key takeaway for me, really reinforced by episode 31, is how genuine courage, real compassion, often comes from that deep-seated sense of duty.
Yeah, doing the right thing because it is the right thing, not for any reward.
Which kind of leaves us, and you listening, with a question, doesn't it?
What's the question?
What are the values that push you, you know, in your life? What guides you when things get tough?
That's a good one. Thinking about the impact of these almost impossible acts of support.
And the power of that real human connection, that bond between wingmen, between friends. It's a theme that just shines through the whole story of the Pardo push, especially as told in Military Tales episode 31. Something to really think about.